I apologize for my voice this morning. I'm a little crackly, so I hope it won't be too difficult to listen to me. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5.
1 Peter chapter 5. The remaining verses of 1 Peter 5 include three encouragements that God gives us. Verses 5 through 7, he says, to be humble. 8 and 9, to be watchful. 10 through 11, to be hopeful. And then he closes up with some final words there of farewell. We don't have time to look at all of this morning, but today we're going to look at verses 8 and 9 there that I've chosen, to be watchful. It says there in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We've been studying on Wednesday night concerning Jesus' teachings with prayer, including the Lord's Prayer there found in Matthew chapter 6. The last petition of the Lord's Prayer is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We noted there that that last word, evil, in the Greek actually mentions there and represents the evil one. We're praying actually, Lord, keep me from the temptations of the devil. Keep me from the attack of the devil that he is sending my way. And so we are to defend ourselves against our cunning enemy. And the question is, how? How do we defend ourselves against the devil's temptations? Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And I believe this passage here has a lot to do with that particular admonition that the Lord gives. We're going to first consider the danger of our enemy and then look at the defense. How do we withstand against his temptations? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house today. I do pray that you would help me to share clearly your word again as we look this morning. Father, this is indeed your words to us, your message to us. We acknowledge of that. We know, Lord, that the devil is real. He is in this world, and he does not like what's going on even this morning here in this church. And I pray that you would help us to understand that and that we would come to have an attitude that is correct concerning the seriousness of the threat. And then, Lord, take it heart to what you teach us as how to defend ourselves, how to withstand against his temptations. Thank you, Lord, for what you will do. I pray that each one of us right now would not be distracted by anything that is around us. Help us to concentrate. Help us to put forth the energy, the effort to learn your words this morning through this message. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a story I came across some years ago that told of a hunter, deer hunter, that was out in Telhema Wildlife Area near Red Bluff in Northern California. Now, that doesn't mean anything to me, but it's some rugged land out there, I understand. His name was Jay Rathman, and he climbed to the edge of a slope of a rocky gorge there. When he got to the top, he noticed that there was something moving to the right side of his head, and he realized by the sound it was a rattle, a coral there. And the thing struck at him, hit him in the back of the neck, right on the wool turtleneck sweater that he had on, and his fangs got into the turtleneck, didn't get into his neck, thankfully. But the strength of the strike, if that wasn't bad enough, made the snake's whole body come and land on his shoulder. Now, you can imagine, I don't like to have snakes in front of me, let alone on my back. And here he is with that thing, and it started as a four-foot-long rattler and started to coil itself around his neck. And so he reached up and grabbed the snake with his left hand right behind its head and to try to keep him from getting a better strike. And at the same time, he fell backwards down through the gorge there with his rifle and his binoculars coming down beside of him. Ended up upside down at the bottom with that rattlesnake still around his neck and him holding on to the head. When he got him out loose from the sweater there, he could not get him totally away, so where he was, the snake was still trying to strike at him, hit him in the face a couple times with its nose, And fortunately, kept his head turned enough he could not get his fangs in him. The end of the story there, I think he said he ended up strangling the snake was the only way he could get him to release, and then threw him to the side and got out. Now, all of that is said because I don't think any of us would, especially with Anna's testimony, would disagree that snakes are dangerous, especially poisonous ones, that we need to watch out for. And the whole point of the story is, and how it relates to this, is the devil is a snake. He is a serpent. He appeared as a serpent there in the Garden of Eden. But he is dangerous. He is not a literal snake today, but he is a literal devil, Satan. For those that may not know your doctrine, your teachings of Scripture, the Bible says that he is a created being, Lucifer, one of God's and God's greatest angel he ever created, the most beautiful angel, the most wise, and the most powerful other than God himself. Of course, God is not created. He is God. He is the creator. Satan, Lucifer, Satan is the name that we have ascribed to him in the New Testament, fell from his standing. He desired himself to be God in God's place, and he sold the idea on one-third of the angels of God, and they followed him. They are what we call demons today. They are real, and the devil is real, and the attack and the danger to us as Christians is real. The devil is a murderer, he's a liar, and he is a hater of man. I noticed in our first song that we sang there, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. He says there, as we read on down there, most blessed, most glorious. No. What was our first? A Mighty Fortress. I got on the wrong page there. First verse there. Of mortal ills prevailing, for still our ancient foe doth seek to work his woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. It's talking about our enemy, the devil, right there. And that we have a real enemy. We have a real threat that is there. Peter describes him here as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. His tactic is to destroy us in order that he may hurt God. It's his way of getting back at God. So how do we defeat this devil is the question, and the most important part, or the most important thing to consider, is our attitude. We need to be aware that he is dangerous and that he is a real threat. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3, it says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and perished." Thank you. You get that there. The writer of Proverbs says there that a prudent man, a wise man, foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and say, "Hey, that's no big deal. I think the pastor's blowing this one out of perspective. I mean, I don't see no devil out there behind the car, behind any tree, anything else. I know he's real, but I don't really think he's after me." Folks, let me tell you something. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. And he's got you where he wants you. And there are several reasons why the devil is dangerous. First of all, the devil is mad. You may not think of it this way, but it's exactly what's going on. Why is the devil mad? I'm glad you asked that question. He is mad at you. Matter of fact, Peter says right here, he is your adversary. He is the one that is against you. He's mad at you because you have chosen the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And in a sense, you're saying to the devil, "Devil, I don't want you. I don't want anything you've got to offer. I choose what God has." And that makes the devil mad. Frank Hamrick said, "Every Christian, in essence, is a testimony against the devil's belief that he can be like God. When we trust Christ, we are saying, 'Satan, you're not worth it. I'd rather have Jesus.'" Amen? And that's exactly what goes on. So when he sees a person trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, automatically he becomes an enemy of the devil. The devil becomes mad at him and in opposition to him because of his stand. Now, on the other hand, let me say this. A person that has never trusted Christ as Savior, the devil has them right where he wants them. He doesn't want them to trust Christ. He wants them to stay just where he is. The devil knows Scripture. He knows what his end is prophesied, and that end is going to be in the lake of fire for all eternity. And that's where every person that does not trust the Lord Jesus Christ is going to end up as well. You ever heard this statement, misery loves company? The devil knows where he's headed, and he wants as many people as possible to go there with him. And that's exactly why he wants people that have never trusted Christ to sit right where they are, to say, well, I don't really think I need to do that right now. I'll do it later. That's playing right into his hand. He has you right where he wants you. Don't fall for that. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, Jesus Christ loved you enough to die on Calvary in your place so that he could pay for your sin. And if you will believe that he did that for you and by faith say, Lord, that's what I want to be my payment of sin, then God will forgive you of your sins and he will give you eternal life to dwell with him in heaven forever. That is the promise of God. The devil doesn't want you to do it. He'll try to convince you in every way possible to keep from it. Don't be sidetracked with that. The devil is mad. Secondly, the devil is devourous. It says there that he is walking about seeking whom he may devour. The word devour there means to swallow whole. It talks about or means total destruction, and the devil wants to do that. He wants to destroy every Christian physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Physically, he would like to affect your body. He did with Job. You remember the story of Job. Your possessions, etc. Job is a tremendous illustration of what the devil would do to every one of us if God let him. And that's what he is about, folks. He wants to destroy you physically. He wants to destroy you mentally, cause confusion in your life, cause depression in your life. Folks, we cannot give the devil that opportunity. We cannot give the devil that victory there. Emotionally, he wants to affect your feelings, your relationships. There are Christians today that are crippled, spiritually speaking, because their relationships with their wife or with their husband is in such shambles that they cannot and would not dare try to step out and do something for God. The devil has the victory there. Spiritually, he wants to cause doubts and fears. If the devil gets victory in any of these areas, he is crippling to us as a believer. We need not to fall prey to him in that area. He is devourous. But then he is also devious. He is smart. He is clever. The Bible describes him as being subtle, wily, a liar, an angel of light, a deceiver, and a seducing spirit. Look with me, please, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, first of all. Paul writes here, and he says, but I fear lest any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Notice what Paul says about the devil. He says, I'm fearful lest some of you will fall prey, just like Eve did, to the devil's subtleties. He beguiled her. He deceived her. He tricked her into believing what he was saying. And the devil is about that today as well. Look over to verses 13 and following there. Paul writes about false prophets. He says, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. What does he say here about these false prophets? He says they're just like their father, the devil. The devil is a transforming type of individual that makes himself look like an angel of light. He makes himself look like the real thing, the correct thing. And therefore, those that are trying to teach heresies, those that try to get people to swallow that and to follow into these false teachings, they also come to you as if they believe the same thing that you do. Oh, we believe in Jesus Christ also. And we believe in the King James Version of the Bible also. But here, let me give you another testament of Jesus Christ. you see. Let me tell you something else that we have learned since this, that God has told us that you need to be aware of. Folks, let me tell you something. God has given us everything necessary that we need right here in this book. There is no another Bible. There is another Testament of Jesus Christ. God is not working today for us revealing additional information, especially when it contradicts what He's already said. We need to understand and not be led astray. The devil works in many different ways to try to bring people to feel comfortable with what he is all about and what he is like, and then he traps them. That's his way. He is subtle. He makes evil look right. He makes right look evil. And we have it going on in this world constantly. He confuses, he imitates, he distorts, and he perverts. Look with me, please, over to Revelation chapter 12. I shared this on Wednesday night, I believe, also, concerning the devil. And I wanted you to be aware of it. Here in Revelation chapter 12, it describes here what takes place, I believe, at the middle part of the tribulation period. And right now, I hope you understand, the devil has access to go to heaven and his demons. Matter of fact, the devil is there most of the time. It tells us in verse 10 there that he is an accuser of the brethren that stands before our God and accuses them before God day and night. That is where he is today. And when Randy Blackwell sins, guess what the devil does? He says, hey, God, you see what Randy Blackwell just did? He doesn't love you. He doesn't really want to be yours. That's what the devil is up to today. Thank God we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John 1, 2, verse 1. And he is the one that's my defense attorney there, and he says, excuse me, devil, I paid for that sin. It's under the blood. It's forgiven. And that is what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the devil is doing today. Look at verse 9. There was verse 7 and 8 there. It says that there was a war in heaven. Michael, the archangel there, and his angels fought against the dragon, which is the devil, and his angels. And the devil prevailed not in verse 8, and he was cast out of heaven there, we're going to see. But verse 9, notice that the description there of the devil. It says there, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out, and et cetera, et cetera. Now, notice these words that are used of him. First of all, he's described as a great dragon. Now, you may think, yeah, I think I've seen a picture of him somewhere. He had a red suit with horns and a little, pointed tail and a pitchfork. Folks, that is not the devil today. As I said, God described him as the most beautiful angel he's ever made. When the devil comes to you, he's not coming like in a red suit with horns. That's not what he's about. He's going to come to you as something very beautiful. He's going to come to you as something that is very nice, something that you wouldn't be afraid of. That's what the devil does. But he is here described as a great dragon. He was cast out. The old serpent, that is the cunning one, is what it means there. He's called the devil. The word devil there is the word slanderer or accuser, as I mentioned a while ago. That's his work that he's doing right now. He's called Satan, which is the word that means adversary, and that's what he is and what we're looking at here with 1 Peter 5. He is the adversary. And he goes about deceiving, and that's his primary work. He wants to deceive people. He wants to get them to misunderstand what the Word of God says and what life is all about and what God has done and what sin is and how important it is to make sure it's taken care of. That's the work of the devil. That's the adversary that we have when we think about this one that is so dangerous there. He is devious. He is wanting to deceive us. Paul shares one other reason why we should be aware and watchful of this particular danger. It's found in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. He says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, the word devices there has to do with schemes or his plan of attack. In other words, we are not ignorant of his sneaky ways. We're not ignorant of how he works. And we're not because I just told you how he works.
I've just revealed to you that He's going to come to you. He's going to make Himself look nice. He's going to be able to talk to you and try to get you to doubt what God has said and to go ahead and follow through what He is saying. And all the time, He's going to make it look so good as if you're not really doing anything wrong.
Because the wrong has been made to look right. And the right has been made to look wrong. The devil is all about it. So why is the devil dangerous? He's mad, he's devourous, and he is devious. But look at our defense right here in 1 Peter 5. There are three commands that he gives us here. Be sober, be vigilant, and be resistant. These three are seen. First of all, we are to be sober. The word there means serious-minded. Be alert, be careful. Applied here, we're to take the devil seriously. Some people laugh it off. Some people joke about the devil. Yeah, the devil's up with it after me today. Well, it's one thing to make a statement like that, but when you're taking it that lightly, when you look at what's going on as a joke, folks, I believe that deep down we're not really taking the defense that we need to against the joke that is in our mind, you see. Why would we defend ourselves against a joke? The devil is not a joke, folks, as we have seen. He is real. He is dangerous. And he is devious. Here we're to be serious-minded. We're to take the devil serious. He is a serious danger. We're to be vigilant. The word there, vigil, means to stay awake, stay alert. Are you? We're to stay awake. We're to be watchful. We're to be attentive. We're to be on guard and constant lookout for the devil. Am I one that says the devil is out here behind every tree? No, I don't normally speak of him that way, but yeah, I imagine he probably is.
Is he here in this room this morning? His demons are, I guarantee you. And to some of you right now,
he is whispering,
you don't need this. Pass that note. Write down that list of groceries you need tomorrow. What? You see,
oh, the devil don't want you to pay attention. He doesn't want you to be looking and learning what's going on here. He wants you to be thinking about all of these other things and dealing with that. We're to be awake. We're to be watchful. We're to be looking. Together, then, the devil is serious. We're to watch out for his danger. Look at verse 9 there. We're to resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that other Christians are facing the same type of things, he says. And folks, let me tell you something. There's not a believer in here today that does not face the same demons that you face. We all have the temptations. We all have the devil working on us. We all have a dangerous foe. We're all going to fall prey to it once in a while. We all need to understand that it is serious and that we need to take the same defense, each one of us. So what is that defense, he says in verse 9? To resist steadfast in the faith. The word steadfast there means solid or balanced on both ends. Being solidly fixed then on the faith. What is the faith? I'm glad you asked that question. What is the faith? It's not just believing here, but the faith that he's talking about here is much more than that. It's talking about the biblical revelation that God has given us. We are to be solidly fixed in God's Word. We need to know what the Bible says. Pastor, you don't understand. I have a hard time learning things anymore. Well, get in line. That's not unnatural. All of us have problems learning things. True, the younger you are, the easier it sticks sometimes. But that just means the older we get, the harder we work at it. It's not that we give up and say, I can't, but we are to try. We're to put forth the effort. Let me tell you something, remind you something that God says. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. If God wants you to put his words into your mind, he will help you do it. That's his promise, just as much as John 3:16. We need to understand it, that we can, through Christ, do all things, include, understand his scripture, and put it in our minds. So we are to be steadfast in the faith. We're to have a solid understanding of the Word of God. We're to keep on resisting to this devil with the Word of God. How do we do that? Well, Jesus is the example of that. Remember how that The devil came to Jesus there, recorded in Matthew chapter 4. And the temptations that took place there were three major temptations. And this wasn't a demon, this was the devil himself that came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he gave him that temptations there, three times the Lord responded to it. How did he respond each time? "It is written," he said. Each time the devil gave a temptation, the Lord Jesus Christ came back and he quoted Scripture to him. Now, folks, that is the same way that we resist the devil today. Jesus has given us the illustration. But guess what? If you're not steadfast in this book, if you don't know this word, if there's nothing in your mind to quote, your gun is empty. You don't have any ammunition there. What can the Spirit of God reach into your mind and pull out and say, "Thus saith the Lord"? So we cannot resist the devil if we do not know God's Word. That's why it's so important, not just to be here in church and hear the Word of God preached and explained, not just to be in Sunday school class and have it taught. And folks, let me tell you, those are important. Don't skip out on those things. But you need to be in God's Word on the side as well. You need to open it up before you come to church on Sunday. I'm not talking about Sunday morning, just. We need to be putting forth the effort to understand and rightly divide the Word of Truth so that we have in our minds the ammunition that the Holy Spirit of God can bring back to remembrance and then say, "It is written." That will help us to stand. That will help us to resist the devil. Notice with me, James says the same thing. James chapter 4, back a few pages. James 4 and verse 7. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." There's a promise. But that promise is tied to two commands. What are they? Submit to God and resist the devil. Submit to God and resist the devil. We were already talking about the resisted part there. Before we can stand before Satan, we've got to bow before God. Before you can expect to be able to resist the devil, you've got to submit yourself to God and His Word. And that is the principle that is there. In application, I want to tell you another story. When I was a teenager, I went to Falls River Baptist Church in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. My pastor there was Dr. W.D. Hamrick. Dr. Hamrick was in the military back in the jungles of Panama. He served there, and he was on patrol one night, or fixing to go out on patrol one night. There was a three-mile trail from the base down to an Indian village that he was supposed to patrol. Now, there were some dangers out there. Might run across some drunk Indians out there that don't like what you're doing, etc., etc. So he had to be somewhat watchful. But that particular night, as he was about to go out on patrol, his sergeant said unto him, "Be careful, they've spotted a black panther out in the jungle." Well, all of a sudden, his patrol time that night became much more concentrated upon. He began to go out, and he said he walked down through that trail that he's walked so many times, so many nights, and that night it seemed like that there was something different. Silence. Couldn't hear a thing. Blackness. The sergeant told him, "Don't use your flashlight unless absolutely necessary." Here he was walking down through there with his rifle, his flashlight, in the dark, trying to stay on this path because he didn't want to get off of it. And all of a sudden, there was a crash to the right side of him. He flipped around with his rifle and his flashlight. He couldn't see anything to get his eyes to focus on. All of a sudden, he saw what appeared to be a branch that had fallen out of a tree. Well, they went on down through the trail there and back. No panther. But the point that I want you to see is this.
What made the difference about how he walked that trail that night? And the difference was he had an understanding that there was a panther in the jungle. Folks, what will make the difference of you walking out of here today with your perspective of being watchful for the devil? And it's the understanding that he is there waiting for you. He is a danger. He wants to destroy you. And he will if you do not take God's precautions. Won't you be obedient? Won't you study his word? Memorize verses that deal with the sin that you're most likely to be tripped with. That God can have that admonition there. Are you alert? Are you watchful? Do you understand the danger? Remember what Proverbs 22:3 said. A prudent man will foresee the evil and hide himself, but the simple pass on and perish. We hide ourselves behind the Word of God. It's our armor. It's our weapon to fight temptation. I hope you'll take it serious. Every head bow, please. I'm going to ask you right now as we close this service to evaluate in your own life. For those of you, I've been speaking to you primarily today that know Christ as your Savior. And I'm going to ask you right now if you would evaluate how you've been doing. Have you been just kind of nonchalantly going through your life, not really thinking about what the devil is about, what he's trying to do, not really taking heed to what God has said that we're to do in preparing ourselves to stand against and resist the devil? If so, what do you want to do different about it today? The choice is yours. Some Christians, I've heard them say, you know, Pastor, I really don't want to sin, but it seems like every week it just happens. It just happens. There is a remedy. God doesn't want you to sin either. And he's given a way of escape. And that way is right here in the Word of God. Will you take it? Do you mean business? Are you serious about wanting to live for God without sin? Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. What you said early in this message describes me. The devil has me right where he wants me. And I realize that today, and I'd like to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. If that describes you, and if that's what you would like to do, just in a moment, we're going to sing a hymn as we close this service. I'd like to invite you to come forward and indicate that to me. You may say, well, that's embarrassing. Well, don't be embarrassed. There's not a true believer here today that would do anything but rejoice to see you come forward. I'll have someone take you aside and show you how you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ right now before you leave. That is so important. Will you do that? Father, for every one of us, I pray that you would help us to make the correct choice this morning. We understand and believe, I pray, that the devil is real and he is dangerous. He desires to devour each one of us. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the victory over the devil. You've given us, Lord, even the possibility of having victory to stand and resist him right now. Lord, I pray that we would take heed to it. Lord, help us to learn your word effectively. Thank you for what you will do now. In Jesus' name, amen.